Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. Today at 4:30 p.m., we'll need the finance committee to meet here at the church. If you're on the finance committee, deacons and treasurer, if y'all can meet at 4:30, we would appreciate it, getting to work on our budget. This Thursday, January 15th at 6:30 p.m. is the Grady County Baptist Association men's meeting at Pine Park Baptist Church. If you would can meet us there, or if you'd like to ride, just meet here about 6 o'clock on Thursday, and we can ride together. Next Sunday, January the 8th, 18th at 4:30 p.m. Church Council Dream Team meeting here at the church to set our calendar for 2026. So please mark your calendar for that and be here for that. Tuesday, January the 20th at 6:30 p.m. is the Titus 2 Women's meeting. And then Thursday, January the 22nd at 7 p.m. is Stand in the Gap Men's meeting here at the church. Any other announcements? Any birthdays? Oh. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here and just join together in this worship service today, Lord, and just give the glory and honor and praise to you and you alone, Lord. Lord, we do just pray for Brother Tim today as he leads us in the worship service, Lord, as he proclaims your word today, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we have come with hearts of worship, Lord, as we sing many times, Lord, that our hearts are right, Lord, for to give you the glory and honor, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we must not only just listen to your words, Lord, but as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, Lord, that we be obedient to your word, Lord, for the right motives, for the right reasons, Lord, but that we do produce that good fruit that Jesus talks about. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Here.
Good morning. If you can, please stand as we sing hymn 407, Because He Lives. Yeah.
Thank you.
hymn just means so much to all of us, Lord. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin, Lord. Let us take that to heart today, Lord, and realize, Lord, you are our Savior, Lord. You are our Lord, and that only through you can we have that grace. Lord, as we come to this part of our worship service today, Lord, I just pray for this offering, Lord, and we just pray that you will bless it, Lord, as we give sacrificially and we give freely, Lord, to your kingdom here, Lord. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at three verses to start with this morning, verses 16 through 18. But if I were to ask you, what is the most important thing in living a Christian life, what would you say? For some of us, we'd say, well, it's read the Bible. Could be. What about praying? That's important, right? What about coming to church? Sounds like a good answer. But what if I were to tell you I believe the correct answer is to walk in the Spirit? To walk in the Spirit. I believe that's the most important thing for us as believers, because if we are saved by the grace of God, and I'm going to cover this a lot this morning, but if we are a child of God, if we are saved by grace, then God has implanted His Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And a byproduct of that is, if you were in adult Sunday school class this morning, is that we are going to bear what? Fruit. We're going to bear fruit. It's inevitable. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you, what kind of fruit are you going to bear? Bad fruit. But if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you and you are walking by the Spirit, what kind of fruit are you going to produce? Good fruit. See, y'all are paying attention. Good. This is what Paul says, because it goes right along with our lesson this morning. You could have just incorporated both passages together. But anyhow, Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit.
He could have put a pier right there. I know Paul didn't write piers in there because originally there wasn't any, right? And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not what? We pray with Heavenly Father, as we have read these verses this morning, Lord, I pray that you would give us your discernment. Lord, speak truth into our hearts and lives, and Lord, help us to see it, help us to hear it, help us to know it, not only in our head, but in our hearts. And Lord, as we study this morning, Lord, a good tree bears good fruit. So Lord, I pray today that you just lead us and guide us in your word, in your truth, and may we apply it to our lives today. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you go back last Sunday night, we looked at Galatians chapter 5, verses 6 through 15. We're not going to go back and look at them again, but I do want to look at verse 13. If we go there, listen to what Paul says. I know we covered this Wednesday night, but I want to lead this up in our message today. Paul says, "For you, brethren, have not been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Now, liberty. As Americans, we take that to the extreme, don't we? I know we are free, but even with freedom comes responsibility. Okay? In Christ, we have been set free. We have been given freedom. We have been given liberty from the law once we are brought to Christ, right? The law shows us who we are as sinners in need of a Savior. We can't save ourselves, so it should bring us to Christ. But once we are in Christ, once we are saved, we are no longer under the requirements of the law. Now, does that mean that I get to live and do and say whatever I want? But some people believe that. Even people in church, well, I'm just going to say what I want to say. Can I tell you, if that's your attitude, if those words come from your lips, you're not walking in the Spirit. Amen. You're not walking in the Spirit. You're not being led by the Spirit, especially if what comes out of your mouth is not holy. Amen. If it's not a witness and testimony for Christ, then we are leading other people away from Jesus himself. I want us to look this morning, really just 2 points. The first one is the command that Paul gives. But then I want to talk about the conflict that is stirred up inside of us. Because as far as I know, everyone here today is still in their flesh, right? And if you're still in your flesh, that means if the Holy Spirit is living inside of you and you are still in your flesh, then you have conflict. We'll talk about that in a moment as well, too. But this, and hear me out on this. I know the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three or three in one, but they all have different so-called personalities. They have different functions, okay? The primary function of Jesus is in our salvation, okay? He speaks the truth. That's what we believe. God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit both are in unity with the Father, but they all three have different responsibilities, so to speak. So you have God the Father, you have God the Son. He's primary in our salvation, because without his sinless sacrifice, could you and I be saved? No. Now, the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about quite a bit this morning, too. The Holy Spirit is the primary person in our sanctification. Okay? The moment you and I were saved, if you are saved, if you have by faith placed your faith and trust in the sinless Son of God that died on the cross for not his sins but for our sins, he died and rose again on the third day, then the Bible tells me that I am saved. And when I'm saved, God gives me the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you, right? To teach you, to guide you, to do what's right, to know truth from lies, and all those kind of things. And so those are the primary functions. Jesus is our key primary person in salvation. The Holy Spirit is our primary person in our sanctification. But as long as we are living in the flesh, there's the battle that continually goes on. Some people think that salvation, the moment of salvation, is all there is to being a Christian. Is that biblical? No. Because when we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. God will save you wherever you are. Amen. Don't matter if it's in a pig pen or in a mansion. God doesn't care where you are, but God is not going to leave you where you are. Okay? And the Holy Spirit is, it is his responsibility, his job, so to speak, to lead us into sanctification. Now, here again, what is sanctification? Let me just give you a quick, easy term here. Sanctification is the process where the Holy Spirit is making you a vessel that God can use. That makes sense. God is making you into a vessel he can use. God has saved you. You're saved if you believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've repented of your sins. God has saved you. He planted that Holy Spirit in you. And because that Holy Spirit is living in you, he's going to clean you up. Okay? He's going to clean you up. He's going to sanctify you, to cleanse you, to be somebody that God can use. I've used this illustration before. I'll use it again. It's like finding a gold chalice out there in a pig pen, right? It's got rubies, diamonds, pearls, everything else encrusted on the outside of it, but it's got a whole lot of pig stuff inside and outside, right? Now, it may be of great value. Maybe it weighs a pound and a half of gold. Who knows? Are you going to just take that chalice in the house and wash it out with a little bit of water and then start drinking out of it? What are you going to do to it? You're going to clean that thing inside, outside, so that you can do what? So that you can use it. And that's the same work the Holy Spirit does in us through sanctification. He is bringing us to the place where we can be usable to God. Wherever, whenever God chooses to use us, we are a vessel that God can use. Now, we are saved. We are sanctified through Christ. Our sins are forgiven. But as I've said already, salvation is not the end. Salvation is only the beginning. Let's put it this way. How many of you have ever planted a garden? Anybody? Now you can get out there with a tractor and plows or rototill, whatever you got. You can get out there and you can plow up your area and you can let it die for 6 months if you want to. You can spray Roundup on the whole place and you can plant good seeds. You can fertilize. You can water. But think about the process of sanctification. When we're saved, our sins are forgiven, right? But what comes up in the garden quite often? Weeds. Now, you can choose to spray the whole thing around up again. I hope not, but you can choose to. But through the process of the Holy Spirit, we're saved, so we don't need to round up, right? but y'all follow me on the illustration. But as my plants are growing, if I want my plants that I planted to produce fruit, what do I need to do with those weeds that pop up? I need to get rid of them. I need to pull them up by the roots, because if it's some plants, you don't get the roots, guess what? I'll have to come right back, right? Especially nut grasses. Man, that stuff's terrible. But my point is this. The Holy Spirit, in a very real sense, salvation cleansed us, right? We're clean. But we get these parts in us that keep popping up that are not holy. They're not righteous. They're not clean. And the Holy Spirit's coming along, and he's showing us where those weeds are. He's showing us what's wrong, because the ultimate goal of the Father, the farmer, is to produce what? Good fruit. So as we look at the Holy Spirit, he shows us where those weeds are in our lives. He shows us, he teaches us, he trains us, he convicts us. I said this a couple weeks ago, but the Holy Spirit is our teacher, you know, to bring us to Christ. But once we are saved, he then, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he gives us the power to be able to live a holy life. Because we're no longer slaves to sin. And if we're saved, we're no longer slaves to the law. We are slaves to righteousness, to do what is right, to do what God has called us to do, what God has empowered us to do, because he's not going to tell us to do something without giving us the means and the power to do it. Amen? So many times, though, what's our excuse? Well, I just can't do that. What did Moses do? God called him to do something. He said, what? I can't talk. And I said, what? You don't think I formed your mouth? I'm like, you can talk. You see, God knows everything about us inside and out. When we're saved and we sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us of those sins. We realize our sins. We admit and confess our sins to God. But here's a problem many of us have, is that we confess our sins to God, but we do not repent of our sins. You follow what I'm saying? Many of us would say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I shouldn't have done that, but then we keep doing it, right? Have we repented? No, we just told God what he already knows, right? He already knows we're a sinner. He knows everything we do. So he already knows all of that. But as Paul writes here, that we not just admit our sin, we confess our sin, we turn from our sins. But the reality is we cannot sanctify ourselves through our works any more than what we could save ourselves by the works of the law. No matter how hard we may try, we cannot live a faithful Christian life without the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But so many times we do. We try to live the Christian life in our own strength, in our own power. Paul told us to walk in what? The Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Why is that such a struggle? It's because we have to learn to walk in the Spirit. We have to learn. It's not using our liberty as an occasion for the flesh. It's not to do what I want to do, what I think, what I believe, right? It's to do what God has told us. And the only way to know what God's told us is to do what? Read the Word. To be in the Word, to be under the Word, to learn the Word, so that we know the truth from the lie. We are to be walking in the Spirit. We are to be led by the Spirit. But in order for us to live a faithful Christian life, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. I know that maybe this is thought some have. Is how do I walk in the Spirit? Is that a good question? How do I learn to walk in the Spirit? Well, I want to try to help us out with that this morning. Holy Spirit lives in us to teach us, to guide us, to please God, to comfort us. He does all those things for us, and when we're found in Christ, we are no longer under the law. We are sons and daughters of God. But here's the problem. Many of us, and it goes back to the Sunday school lesson this morning, many of us want to judge ourselves on a system of rules and regulations God does not judge us with. I'm getting stoned on that yet. Just hold on. Once you are saved, you're no longer under law. But how many of us, we may not literally write a checklist each week of what we do and what we don't do, but mentally we do, right? Follow me. I went to church Sunday morning. Check. I went to church Sunday night. Check. I went to church Wednesday night. Check. I went to the women's meeting. Check. Went to the men's meeting. Check. I wrote my tithe. Check. Check. And then we look around to somebody else and we say, man, I'm more holy than they are. I must be more spiritual than they are. If we are under grace, then we're no longer under the law. Should we still, now hear me out, should we still come to church? Yes. Should we still give? Yes. Should we still be a witness? Should we still read the Bible? Yes. All those things, but if I'm measuring my spirituality by a checklist, that means I am a legalist. Right? The problem with legalism is that it leads you away from the leading of the Holy Spirit, not walking in the Holy Spirit. It leads us away back to where the same people who were coming in and saying, you know, it's okay to believe Jesus, but you got to do all these other things to be accepted by God. But how often do we do that same thing in our Christian? We believe Jesus is Lord. We believe He is saved. We believe that there's no other way to God the Father, to heaven, except through Him. We believe all those things, but then in our daily lives, we want to write a checklist, right, to measure how well I'm doing. Paul says, walk in the Spirit. Now, we've done a study on walk before on probably Wednesday night or Sunday night. But what does the word walk used here mean? What does it mean? It means our daily conduct or our lifestyle, right? In other words, it doesn't just mean get out here and walk 2 feet, you know. It means how, it's a walk of life. How am I walking? Am I walking each and every day in accordance to the leading of the Holy Spirit? Because how many of you, maybe you've been in a store, or maybe it was Walmart, and you get up there and something's not right, and the line's 40 people deep, and you want to get out in a few minutes, but they got all the self-checkout things are backed up too, or half of them don't work. And so you get frustrated. Can I get an amen? You get frustrated. But as a believer, it's kind of like the old commercials. You know, you have an angel sitting on one shoulder. Well, the angel would be on the right shoulder, right? And the dude would be on the left. and one saying, man, just tell them how you feel, right? But angels tell you what? Show them grace. Show them love. Show them compassion. They've had a rough day. You don't know what them people have been through. The last people cussed them out. You know? Who do we listen to most of the time? Man, they better get me out of here. I'm going to leave this whole buggy right where it is. Y'all wouldn't do that. Yeah, you would. But you see, there's a battle that's going on between us, in us. We know that we have liberty to do what is right. Paul said, listen, and there's just a few verses down, 5:13, 5:18. We see that Paul saying, listen, don't use your liberty as an occasion for the flesh. But then he tells us to walk in the Spirit. Because then if we're walking in the Spirit, we're not going to do the things that we usually do in the flesh. But as we look down, we find out that so often we go back to trying to live under the law instead of living by faith, instead of living by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let me give us another little checklist here. Let's say that in your legalist mind, you say, well, you know, today I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to read the Bible for 15 minutes a day. Do you know that statistically, if you're a good reader, it might be faster. If you're a slow reader, maybe a little longer. On average, the average person can spend 15 minutes a day reading God's Word and read the whole Bible through the year. So I don't have time. 15 minutes. Turn the TV off. Amen? I bet you watch it more than 15 minutes. Well, I'm gonna set myself a goal for 30 minutes. Those are good things. Don't get me wrong. So I'm gonna start out and start praying 5 minutes a day. And then a month from now, I'm going to bump it up to 10. Isn't that another checklist? See, there's all kinds of things we can set up and we can, that they're good in and of themselves. But if we're not doing it by the leading of the Holy Spirit, then we're doing it to say, look at who? Look at me. See, the problem with walking and living a daily lifestyle and a daily conduct or habitual way of life is that if I'm doing it just as a set of rules that I have enforced on myself, then that is legalism. That legalism can't save us. It can't lead us. But if I learn to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and as I said, with picking and choosing, because here's what I found personally. If somebody might say something mean to me, something ugly, they might cuss me out. Now, I have two choices, right? Don't y'all have two choices? I can fire off back at them, or I can just say, listen, I love you. I might disagree with you, but I love you. Turn the other way. Walk away. I can choose to fight, or I can choose to pray about the matter. And so there's that leading of what is wrong, because that is my flesh wanting to lash back out. But if I'm listening and having the leading of the Holy Spirit in my life, then I'm going to choose to do what is right. Not just do it for the wrong reason. Because you can do what is right, but if you do it for the wrong reason, is it right or wrong? It's still wrong. So we have to learn to listen. I'll give you another example. Let's say we just did a lot of Moon Christmas offering, and the Lord laid on your heart to put, say, $150 in offering plate. But you said, well, I'm going to write a check for $100, and still give it, right? Did you do what the Holy Spirit led you to do? No, you didn't. You were right in what you did. But you didn't do, you wasn't obeying, you were still doing what you wanted to do, not being led by the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit told you to do. So Paul gives us the command to walk in the Spirit. But as I said in the beginning, that always leads to conflict within ourselves. Because how many of you want to do things your way? We all do, I think. So it's a choice As I said earlier too, at the moment we are saved, the Holy Spirit's been given to us as a gift of God. But the problem is, because we are still in the flesh, there is that conflict between the Holy Spirit and what He wants and what we in the flesh want. Now, I know this is going to be hard to see, but y'all can follow along with me, I hope. I think this jar, half water and half vegetable, okay? Now, I'm going to use the jar and lid as my outer person, okay? Your outer person. Just think about it this way. The Holy Spirit is going to be represented by the water. The oil is my flesh. What happens? Leave it there, and it wants to pull away from me. It's that constant battle with one another, right? It's a constant battle going on between who I am and what my Holy Spirit wants me to do. I'm always struggling with that battle because I want to do what Tim wants to do. The Holy Spirit wants me to do what God wants me to do. And you can shake me up all you want, but what happens? It's still a battle. It is a constant battle that is going on inside of you and me. And guess what? It never gets easier. I can ask some of you young people the question. Well, we were all young one time. We know the battle is real when we're young, but I bet you even if I asked the 70, 80s, and 90-year-olds, is there still a battle going on? What are you going to tell me? Yes, it's still there. It never goes away as long as we are in the flesh. So what do I have to do? What do I have to do? In Romans chapter 7, verse 15. So listen to me. If you struggle with this, don't feel bad, because Paul struggled with the same issues. We don't have time this morning because my notes, when I first started, I had chapter 7 and 8. We just don't have time to read both of them. But if you want to this afternoon, that's fine. That's what Paul says. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Because I would imagine that many of us, if you're saved, you want to do what is right. You want to do what God wants you to do. You want to do them for the right reasons. But there's that battle going on with the flesh and the Holy Spirit. He's trying to lead us and guide us. So, what do we do? What do we do? First of all, I think we need to pray. And not as a checklist, okay? We need to pray and ask God, show me the weeds, okay? That's a good illustration. God, show me the weeds through the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to have the strength to pull out the weeds, right? And the desire to pull out the weeds. Because if I don't desire to pull the weeds out, guess what those weeds are going to do? They're going to keep growing. On average, they say a pigweed plant can produce 400,000 seeds. You wonder why you can't get rid of them? You say, well, one weed's not going to hurt anything. You leave it alone. What does pigweed do? It covers the whole field. If you don't believe me, look at wild turnips that take over the fields in wintertime. Y'all think things don't grow? They do. And if you got one patch of them this year and you don't do nothing about them, guess where they're going to be next year? All over the place. You see, one rotten apple in a barrel of perfectly good apples, which one's going to win out? The bad's going to win out. And we've got to say, listen, Lord, help me. Help me to see the weeds, see the weeds and pull them out. I can't do it by my own strength, Lord. You know it's got a strong hold in my life. I'm struggling with it. God, help me to see it. Help me to recognize it. Help me to admit it, because if I never admit it, I'm never going to do anything about it. Admit it and then confess it. Repent of it. That means pull it up, throw it out, right? Get rid of it. Oh, this is another summer for another time, but this came to me. Jesus said, if you cast out one demon, don't replace it where you're going to have in return. Seven more. I would do a step on that one day. Oh, I've got to replace whatever had control in my life with something good, something righteous, something holy. Because what Paul said, meditate on these things. If they're holy, if they're righteous, if they're pure. Because if I don't replace that vice in my life with something holy and righteous, then more trouble's going to come in return. I need to do something. I need to pray. But I need to be in God's Word, because I need to be reassured of the truth. Right? Because here's what we like to do. Even if we go to somebody that we trust as a godly counselor and we tell them our problems and that's where, you know, you're a really good person. I wouldn't think that of you. And so you think, man, I'm okay. If the Holy Spirit's leading you to do something, who do you need to listen to? Listen to the Holy Spirit. But I need to be reassured, reaffirmed through God's Word. I need to spend time here again, not as a checklist, although if you don't plan, we plan to fail. I get that. We have to have a goal for ourselves. So we read God's Word, we're praying, we're following, and the Holy Spirit's inside of us, because the Holy Spirit is our sanctification. He is our guarantee. He is all those things. But at the same time, as far as sanctification, there has to be a willingness on the part of the person being sanctified. Because the Holy Spirit can tell me all day long that what I'm doing is wrong. But if I want to do my own thing, guess who I'm going to listen to? It's a choice. I can choose to honor God, or I can choose to honor myself. If I'm honoring myself, I'm not walking in the Spirit. I'm not walking according to the Spirit. I'm walking according to Tim's way, not God's way. So I need to pray. I need to read God's Word. I need to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because if He is in you, He is telling you what is right. That's His job. Now, I want to spend the next couple minutes going over through the book of John. And I know this is not exhaustive, so don't go, well, he left one out. I probably did. But this is just something simple, basic, that we can look at this morning. How do we walk in the Spirit? Now, what I'm going to say, I'm going to say this. This is what I believe, okay? Put that in parentheses. And you might say, well, where do you get this from? I'm going to tell you, Ezekiel, there's two verses here I want us to read, and then I'm going to tell you what I believe. I have those on there. Ezekiel 11:19. Now, follow my reasoning here for this moment. When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, what did he write on? On stones, right? Or the marble, I don't know. They were stones. So listen to what my reason. This is what Paul, or what Ezekiel writes here through the leading God's Holy Spirit. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of what?
Flesh.
All right. Now let's look at the next passage in Ezekiel. 36:26. This is what it says. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now, my understanding is that when every single person is born, God has instilled in them the difference between right and wrong. Right? Now, I get, you might say, well, there's some people who never get to that. I get that. But just as God wrote his commandments, the basic Ten Commandments, it is the basic Ten Commandments that I don't care if you're born in the United States or Russia or China or Korea or wherever, Iceland, Poland, wherever. Everybody knows it's wrong to steal. Everybody knows it's wrong to kill, right? That is basic moral standards that God has written on our hearts. But I believe that when we are saved, that heart of stone comes out. And that heart of flesh goes in. That heart of flesh is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, leads us, guides us, as we'll find here. In John 14, verses 15 through 18, listen to what John writes here about the Holy Spirit. Really, Jesus spoke these words. He says, if you love me, do what? Ooh, man, we're all in trouble. Keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, that, and he will give you another, what's it called? Helper. Who is the helper? The Holy Spirit. Okay, we got him. That he may abide with you for how long? Till you sin again? Forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So just three quick points. We can pull more out of these. The Holy Spirit is our helper, and he is the Spirit of truth. He's not going to tell you lies. Not going to tell you to do something that goes against the Word of God or the character of God. Okay? He is our comforter, and he dwells in us forever. John 14, 25 through 27. Here again, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. A couple things here. He is our teacher. He helps to bring to remembrance the things Jesus said. But if we don't read God's word, we don't read what Jesus said, how can the Holy Spirit bring back to remembrance? Right? He is our peace. So many believers today don't have peace in our lives, and it makes me wonder, well, if you don't have peace in your life, number one, are you saved? Number two, are you living, walking in accordance to the Holy Spirit? Because if you're defying God Almighty, how can you live in peace? John 16, verses 7 through 11. This is what he said. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He's not telling lies, right? This is Jesus being. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will do what? Y'all need to circle that word if you got your mouth. Circle, convict. That's his job, is to convict you. If you can live like the devil and you never have any conviction of the Holy Spirit, it's because you are not saved. Okay? So I've been doing it for years and God's never done anything to me. Well, it's maybe because you're not his child. Right? He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. of sin because they do not believe in me. Ooh. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. You see, he came to convict us of sin. He came to convict us of righteousness, to show us what is right and what is wrong. He came to show us that there is a day of judgment that is coming. In John 16, verse 13, this is what he says again. How when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all what? Truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. You see, the Holy Spirit is our guide. He is our convictor. He is our he is everything we need. But listen, if we're not paying attention to him, if we're not listening to him when he convicts us, oh, he's going to be loud enough that he'll get our attention. But see, we choose to, well, I don't want to get any guys in trouble. But if you're watching something on TV and you don't want to be messed with and somebody comes in the room and starts talking and you want to hear what's on TV, what do? Turn up the volume. Sometimes we do that with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is trying to get our attention. He's telling us, he's yelling at us, and we keep turning the world up, because we want to drown out what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. We don't want to hear him because it conflicts with what I want to do. It conflicts because I have a right to be angry, right? I have a right to strike back because they slapped me or did whatever. I have the right to defend myself. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God will never, ever lead you to do anything that goes against God's word. He will never tell you or lead you to do anything that goes against the character of God. So here's just a few thoughts of mine. Well, they did me wrong. I'm never, ever going to forgive them. God said I don't have to forgive them. Did that come from God or from Satan? They did such and such to me. I have a right to hold a grudge against them for the rest of my life. I don't have to give anything. I don't have to give anything. God says that he wants a cheerful giver. And I'm just not cheerful, so I don't have to give. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I hear that quite often, do you? I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't have to go to church to go to heaven. You see, we often... maybe we wouldn't say those things out loud, but sometimes we think, well, you know, God wants me to do this. I know he wants me to do it, but God wants me to go witness to this person, but I just don't have time. But what if God takes the rest of your time away from you? Amen? You see, we're told by Paul to walk in the Spirit, but some people say, well, you know, God told me to divorce my wife. He wants me to be happy. Really? Is God going to tell you that? I've heard of people who say that they murdered somebody because God told them to do it. Really? You see, all that, we got to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. We have to learn to hear. But it's not just enough to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. What does count is that we walk in it, that we do it, that we obey. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my what? Commandments. You see, the Holy Spirit's going to lead you in truth. He's going to lead you in righteousness. He's going to lead you in the character and the ways of God so that you can become a vessel that God can use. Now, if I were to ask you, and y'all don't raise your hand, if I were to ask you, do you want to be a vessel God can use? You're here today, and I would imagine that you would say, yes, I desire that. I desire for God to be able to use. Number one, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't ever be used by God to be a vessel that he can use. So first, we must put our faith and trust in him. And if you've never done that, I invite you to today. Forward at a time invitation, but Tim, I need to know how I can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to be saved, and I'll do my best to show you how. But there's another group of us here today. We're saved, we know we're saved, but maybe we've been living in a way that we know is not according to the Holy Spirit. What we feel, the conviction, whatever it is, y'all know what it is. I got my own problems. Y'all got yours, right? You know what it is. You know what God's dealing with you about. Holy Spirit's telling you to trust me. Trust me. Do it. Do it. Do it. But either you're in the way or you're listening to the wrong powers. Instead of listening to the Holy Spirit's power in your life to teach you, lead you in truth, you're listening to the lies of Satan, or you're listening to yourself. And maybe today we just need to come to an altar and say, God, you know what I'm dealing with. You know the issues that I have. It may be unforgiveness. It might be something that you're struggling with. It might be something on the internet. It might be whatever. And you need it. Just to come and say, Lord, I give it to you. I want to walk in your ways. I want to be the vessel that you can use. What's your response today? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we come to this time of invitation, Lord, there's probably some area in every single one of us who are saved. Lord, we struggle with. Maybe it's through unbelief. Maybe it's out of a feeling of that we don't have the power to do it on our own. But Lord, if you lead us to it, Lord, you'll lead us through it. You'll give us everything we need to accomplish what you have told us to do. So Lord, help us to have faith. Lord, maybe today one's here and they've not trusted you as a Lord and Savior. Today they want to receive you into their hearts and lives. Then I pray, Lord, by the time the music starts playing, that Mississippi begins to play. And I pray, Lord, that they would just step out in faith to do what you would have them to do, to trust you as their Lord and Savior. Ultimately, Lord, I pray that all of us would not just hear the truth, but that we would make a conscious decision, Lord, today to say, Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to be led each and every day. Lord, you told us if we want to be your disciples, we need to take up our cross daily and follow you. So, Lord, help us to recognize, help us to learn, to listen to your voice. I pray today in Jesus' name. Amen.